Good evening, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Recon One Leadership with your friend Edmund Tirado.
And this is Rick.
And today, Rick, we would like to talk about leadership for those working from home. Working from home leadership. And how you been doing, my friend?
Hey, it's been a good day, man. It's hot, you know, but nonetheless, it's been a good day. We do live in Texas, so what can we say?
Hey, yeah, me too. I had a lot of things accomplished that I want to do over the weekend, so it's been great. Working from home, it allows some of the stuff to take care of it. More importantly, when we work and we have our teammates and our leaders, where we had to maintain communication. And that's the thing that I would like to discuss today, on how we maintain leadership without being micromanaging, right? Allowing people to do their jobs, empowering and stuff like that. So I have a checklist. So basically for us, we were more communicated a lot on different things. That way we knew what were happening. Essentially, like in the morning, we're like, all right, good morning. We have this, and we have different tools that we use. Definitely, we use a lot of technology. So technology for us was key. I think without technology, we wouldn't be able to accomplish all the stuff that we did. So I want to just highlight that communication is key, the use of technology, and more importantly, we had to resource our team with different, you know, like I said, anything from technology and allowing them whatever they need to do to bring the outcome. I think the key word, at least for us and on our side and our whatever we were producing and stuff like that, we focus more on the outcome as opposed to the activity. So yes, we talk a lot, we communicate effectively, but in the end, we want results. As leaders, that's what we want. We want results. So how was your experience for you and the folks that involved in your project?
Well, you know, for us, our projects are, we're kind of what we call a decentralized pod. We become a pod toward the ending of our relationship, you know, with the project that we're working. First, what we do is we construct our teams. And it's fluid because we bring in different people with different specialities. There's a core group of us that are the administrative function. And then we construct a pod with different people, engineers and scientists from around the country based on their specialty. Once you are assigned the particular project, we disseminate it to everyone. And because of the type of work it is, everybody goes off into their little independent corner to evaluate their pieces of it. Technology has a huge role in what we do because we're all across the country, literally. And how we communicate back and forth, you know, is easier now than ever with the tools that are available to us. Text, email, Slack, Zoom.
Yeah.
You name it, you know, we can now do this with great efficiency. Previously, we would come together at the end of the session where we would all meet face to face. But because of how we now have to live because of COVID-19, we are Zooming like everyone else. And it has proven to be an effective tool, providing leadership to each individual has changed. You know, I've worked in situations where it's been an office. Well, you know, if you're right next door, we can come have a little cubicle talk. You know, I might be able to come in, just, you know, bring my little notebook over, bring my notepad over, whatever, and that can teach you something right there.
Yeah.
You've learned to adapt that, though. Now we do that also via Zoom. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, we have also learned to give people a greater amount of responsibility and autonomy, because you can now work from home. And I have to depend that if you run into trouble, you are going to reach out to the folks who got the answers for you.
Definitely. I mean, is the thing that you said just right now, autonomy, it was powerful, because people were creative. I think people were more creative than before, because they felt like, well, I had this going on, and my team is dependent on me. Just like for us, the same way. I knew that I couldn't go to across the hall and go to whoever office, and nobody could come to my office and couldn't talk, or, you know, deal with the production and my clients as well. I had no interaction. I mean, the good thing for us that, like you, we kind of serve people across the globe, in terms to people who serve. And I came across a quote that says, people love to learn, but they hate to be taught. And to me, well, nobody really is teaching you now. You have to be creative and start looking for different things. Granted, we have some tools in place, you know, like you mentioned, you know, Slack, the whatever emails, clouds, and stuff like that. But you still, from at least for us, or me as one of the senior executive in this corporation that I represent, I had to go and check some projects personally. And what I did was the same thing. I would talk to the guys, say, hey, listen, what was going on? Because we did have some people that actually were working. We maintained more than a distance, because our setting in the production setting, they have plenty space. And it always has been. So what they did was like, all right, you know what? No need to come. You don't want to. Hey, let me take a video right now, or let's just do a video conference from my phone, and then let me just show you. And more often than not, it was very effective for me. And serving some of the clients on Zoom was super key. So I think working from home, and us as leaders, we had to embrace that, and we had to embrace it in such a thing. Like, kind of like off the topic of work and production and stuff like that, just like you and I in the same club of Toastmasters. In fact, I think we increase in some aspect the participation, because now we have people that from different places that they can convene in one spot. However, there were others that decide that they just like the, you know, person to person, in person type of interaction when it comes to our club, and we all respect that. However, it was not a whole lot. I mean, it was like maybe like 1% that decided to go that route, and that's okay. We maintain communication with them, and then, you know, making sure that they were okay and everything like that. And so as leaders in any organization, I think that communication is really was the key. I mean, from this point forward, do you think that we're going to be working more from home, your traditional corporations?
Well, I think that work as we once knew it is no more. We have executed a grand experiment over the last 3 months, and we found out that it works. And in some cases, it can be more productive and more efficient. So the standard office, I think, is literally on its way with the dinosaurs. But I have a question with your particular industry. How did the switch to working from home impact your client recruitment? I mean, what do you get your clients from? Are they primarily walk-ins, or do you actually go out and recruit them? How did that change for you?
Well, that we had a little bit of dynamic switch, if you will, on that. Most of our clients, since we have been very effective on marketing, and particularly our team, we have these communications from before. We talk to people who are like in Germany, and I do it through Zoom. I mean, Zoom was not a new thing for us, or at least for me. At the same time, it's another app that we use, WhatsApp, and that provide video conference stuff like that. That I will communicate with these clients like that. The walk-ins, well, for the walk-ins and for the call-ins, well, we embrace the technology. What we did was, obviously, people coming in, we have a sign that they, you know, go to the to our receiving area, actually, and they will kind of deal with them, but not really. They say, call this number, call the number on the card, whatever, and depends on what kind of services you were looking for, but follow the directions. And that works out, I think, okay. And for most people, they always call us first. And we like to establish a time and day where we can have a sit down and go over whatever branding they're looking for or whatever they're looking for. And the beauty of the telephone system that we have, well, it connected to our cell phones. So they would be calling me and they say, well, press 1 for Edmund. And they just press 1 and go to my phone and I see the call and I'm already in my battle station at home and I see the call. I just get the call, say, hey, listen, and then we establish, we talk, and then it's just like normal. I mean, we do a lot of stuff through email, and that helps a lot to convey whatever message. Because now the only thing that I did miss, I must be honest, sometimes when I have a brand new client, I like to sit down face to face, because it's nothing better than face-to-face to understand what they're looking for. And some people will call me and say, hey, when are you going to be open? And then at one point, I kind of operate by appointment like that too. Depends on, again, you know, depends on the client and what the stuff that we're looking for. So we took a little bit of hit on the walk-ins, but we don't get many walk-ins anyways. We get a lot of phone calls rather and a lot of emails due to the fact that whatever marketing strategy we have done, it just funnel that way. So basically we just, like I said earlier, we just took advantage of the technology, and the hardest part was managing expectations from the clients, because again, if that was a brand new client, then I don't know the client. So most of our accounts are executive accounts that we've been working with steady clients. But for those brand new, it was a bit of a challenge, I must say. And again, we will meet and have like a super 6 feet distance and say, hey, what is it that you exactly want? But mostly, video conference was the key. I mean, video conference, I feel that it does pretty much the same. I mean, you don't have that personal contact per se, but you can actually show. And for me, we're very, very effective. So I think in a nutshell, we had a little bit of hit down on the walk-ins, but most of the people will call, and those are the big accounts or the big project, bigger projects, because they always want to know when we're going to be available. So that for us, it helps.
Yeah. So now we talk about, you know, leadership and communications, and we always talk about it from the positive perspective.
Right.
But, you know, how has communications been throughout your organization? Have you incurred any problems, and how did you overcome those problems?
The communication, like from the very beginning, we all got on the email first thing in the morning, and since we were trying to figure out, that was the thing. It's still a crisis, but that initial crisis, that's when we increase the communication. Say, hey, listen, we don't know what's going on, but we had to make it work. And we all, I mean, I have a phenomenal team that people are, this team, everybody want to pull their own weight and super intelligent and super proactive. So since our team always being proactive, I think that was actually key, that having a well-established team, it was actually another factor that helped us to work and be flexible with one another. And since we had these resources, and some of these other guys didn't have the resources, so then we had to empower them, say, hey, you know, let me just give you this resource for you guys to work. So most of the stuff, I mean, our artists, they actually can work from home. So the physical part was whoever was doing physical, that had more of a little bit of impact. But again, it was good, because our production is not a super huge team, but at the same time, it's pretty good group of amount of people, but we have the space that everybody can be all spread out. So communication, like I said, it was from the very beginning. From the very beginning, we talked to each other and say, hey, I'm encountering this issue on a chat. Say, what do you think? Oh, I'm having the same one. Okay, so let's just call a sister office. Say, hey, and then we establish communication like that. So having the ability to, well, that we have this cell phone, what we call cell phone, and Zoom. So we did stuff like that. If you were stuck on something, on a project, then, you know, we did Zoom and say, hey, I'm having this issue. And you know how we can share the screen and stuff like that. And in fact, with another side of a business that I do on the financial side, we had the ability to even give control to the client, and they actually can put all the information and do certain things. That, again, communication was key, and when we communicate a lot, because the tools that are available at this point, I mean, maybe 20 years ago, it would have been a little bit different. It would have been
a lot different.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how financially would have affect. So, I mean, you are a pro at working from home anyways. So for you, what was the biggest challenges you have maybe on communication or on working with different projects?
Well, for us, and for me particularly, I think what changed for me was the rhythm of work. Yeah, even though I've worked from home and been doing it for 4 years, I had a sequence in which I didn't even recognize I had that I would do. You know, you get up, you do some work. I would take my lunch hour, take 2 or 3 hours. I might go get something to eat. I might just go cruise through Home Depot, Lowe's, talk to some people, come back, work a little bit more. And then all of a sudden you realize all that, you know, I'll go to Toastmasters or somewhere. You realize all that got cut once the quarantine hit. And I found myself working incessantly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you just get up, man. One day I sat here 13 hours straight. And I found myself by about 4 weeks in, 5 weeks in, I was wondering, why am I exhausted? Well, I was exhausted because the things that were distractors to me from what I would normally be concentrating on from a work perspective were all gone. And all I was concentrating on was these tasks in front of me on the screen. And I had to, as self-leadership, I'm going to coin it, you have to learn to recognize that, well, things have changed. And you have to adjust if you're going to continue to do this. So I had to reorient myself in terms of how much and when I am going to work in order to be able to kind of come back up. And I'm a person that always has, you know, 3, 4, 5 projects going. Yeah. And when there's 3, 4, 5 projects going, I'm probably at my best. But I'd found myself concentrating so much on the one project that I just burn out, you know, before I can get to any of the others. And I realized that quarantine had actually destroyed that rhythm of work for me. So now I've come to reorganize it and learn how to manage it better. And there's still some, you know, hiccups along the way in my schedule, because I'm a Google planner pop-up guy. If it ain't on the schedule, chances are it's not going to get done. Well, I went from having a schedule that was full every day to having a schedule that was literally just blank, with minus a few Zoom meetings here, Zoom meetings there. But that was a great, it was more of a change than I initially recognized.
You see, for me, it was, this was the key to be successful. I had to be clear on both, you know, the task at hand and the reason behind, hey, why are we doing this? And just sit down and say, hey, listen, this needs to be happen because of X, Y, and Z. And obviously it all had to do with the current situation. So I had to be like super clear on the task at hand and super clear the reason why. And for me, I mean, I had to be super clear more than ever. And now, you know, how sometimes, you know, how sometimes we send an email and we can send an email and then you follow up with the call. Say, hey, I sent an email with X, Y, or Z. And, oh, yeah, I got the email. Well, this time for me, I had to be super specific and clear on whatever I was sending as in email. I was like, well, let me just take my time, because, you know, I'm not driving. So I cut all that driving. So basically I can be even an hour before, instead of be driving, I'm already in my home office. And I'm like, okay, I have the time. Let me just make sure that I define clearly my scope, my deadline, and my deliver days and all receiving days. And I would send the task. I say, hey guys, what about this? What about that? You know, and this was a thing. It was not as a order demanding or anything like that. It was more of a conversational thing. Say, hey, I want to make sure you guys tracking with this. This is what I have. Please verify calendar. So once everything was in the system, it was a matter of say, hey, again, systems in place. This is what this is the project that we have going on. This is what we need to do, whatever the case may be. You know, and I must confess, at one point we had nothing. I mean, it was like blank. I said, oh my gosh. So how for me turned that, well, maybe I need to reach out for more folks and let them know, hey, we're still around. And that was a perfect opportunity. In fact, out of this crisis, what we came with, and I say we, not necessarily me per se, but as a corporation with different services and items that is specifically for this whole COVID-19. And so we took advantage of the crisis. Like we, you and I talked about earlier, you know, out of the crisis, always opportunity to take care of different things or take advantage or show out what can we do to fix a problem. So basically when, you know, when in these few weeks were happening, so we were making sure that everybody understood what was the task when and how to, and as leaders, well, I had to be super clear. I had to let them know, hey, this is what's happening. And the same thing if I'm talking to, you know, my colleagues, I say, hey, I'm sending this to the team. What you have, any suggestion? And then I did a lot of crossover talk, trying to make sure that I was clear on whatever I was sending. And the same thing, my colleagues, hey, they will email, hey, I mean, what about X, Y, Z? And that was another way to prove, not to prove, but I guess to show that we had activity. But for me, what was more important was the results. The outcome of whatever we're doing, it spoke louder than, hey, I'm here. Hey, guys, what you doing? You doing okay? Do you need help? You know, as opposed to all that, be like, okay, where are you at in the process? I can help you out as leader to who wanted to talk, who wanted to call, who wanted to email, where you at? And that was for me was more important throughout the whole thing. As always, the outcome is it talks louder than any words. So for resources of our team, again, we have different tools as Slack and Zoom and stuff like that. Do you have anything in outside of that you guys use?
Well, we previously had an internal system, kind of like a intranet, because again, our work is based on government. Mm-hmm. So we would, you know, be able to dial into an intranet where we could communicate and exchange documents and so forth with each other. I think the tools that have been developed are now superseding that, because we're really adopting commercial platforms to do a lot of the things that we were previously doing internally. So Slack is it. We're slacking people, you know, the government bought the license and you know, we're slacking mm-hmm. people.
Yeah, so, it's another one from Microsoft, but yeah, that was the team. But the problem we have with that you had to buy the license, and well, everybody working remotely, not everybody was able or wanting to do it. So for us was Slack, because that was the main thing that we all. When we sit down and we decide how we were going to go about all of this, we'll make sure that the people or the personnel has, you know, the tools that they need, laptops, cell phone connectivity and stuff like that. For the most part, everybody did, but we had to make sure that, you know, whoever didn't, how we were going to provide with those tools. And, you know, maybe this computer here, maybe this for the designers, take this pad and use it and so forth, so on. So that was super key to make sure that we resource our team. And again, another thing that for me was super key, we had to be flexible with one another, and we had to make sure in my case that our clients were flexible as well. And this was very unique. Everybody was going through the same processes, so everybody understood, but we had to reach out, let them know, say, we're still operating at whatever percent due to the current situation. We can still serve you, but under these circumstances. And being clear and straightforward, and people understood. I mean, not necessarily some were happy about it because they had things going on. People, you know, people will always have something to say, but
absolutely.
But we had to be make sure that we were flexible with the whole thing and flexible with whoever didn't want to go to work. That was another thing. I mean, nobody was forced to work. And
well, that was going to be my next question, Julia. You know, a part of leadership, you know, in any organization, the first tenet should be is people. Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask, you know, did you guys do anything special in terms of taking care of your people, you know, and in their mental health? Because again, we don't know. You could have had an employee who had COVID. Their spouse or parent or someone could have been impacted by this. So did you guys have anything in place that y'all did special in regards to those areas?
Yeah, it was the community. Well, for one, nobody really, how I put it, everybody was out of the office, okay? But we're not knowing what's happening in their personal life. So we will communicate in that such a way, be like, hey, if you have any symptoms or whatever, this is what I find out. And we would constantly, I personally went to the World Health Organization and to the CDC and stuff. And I would grab, say, hey, listen, and we have great illustrations there. Make sure that please follow this protocol with your kids and stuff like that. And a lot of people were having the kids at home too, say, hey, do you have any question that we can help for your kids for school and stuff like that? So we kind of talk things like that. But mostly I would send like, I don't know, maybe a quarter of the day or something like that, trying to keep everybody. And I know my colleagues, this and same thing. So for the executive side, very organically, we were communicating, and I was communicating with the guys in production and stuff like that, and kind of get a pulse of what was going on. And you know, when people have issues, they will tell you, hey, my so-and-so is sick and or whatever. You know, that was the thing. You know, I would have one of my informal leaders there or a leader down there, and I would get a pause and make a presence, you know, every now and then, stop by and say, hey, y'all good or whatever the case. So that was, and nobody was forced to go. So whoever was wanting to go, it was, you go on your free will, but you had to follow the protocol that was established by all these health institution, the government, and our internal policies, because we don't want nobody to be sick, because I mean, whatever is produced, it has to go to some people. So we didn't, you know, that was an easy way to spread any anything like that. So guys, again, gloves, mask and stuff like that to make sure, and the distance, and make sure that, you know, from work to home and whatever in between, maybe, you know, we encourage, and that was a joke in a way, we encourage people to, you know, do the whole curb services. Before the pandemic, we were talking about stuff like that. Like some of us do go to, I don't know, let's say HEB, our Texas beloved supermarket / everything else, right? And one of my colleagues say, oh yeah, I'll do that all the time. And I'm looking at kind of funny. I said, man, I like to go to the supermarket. But then after I experienced, I can just order online and sit in the parking lot, and they put it out. I said, man, this is beautiful. Forget this all experience. And then we start encouraging everybody, hey, make sure that, hey, this curve. And, you know, you start sending all these texts. And I think that was the key to keep it less formal too. That was, you know, being flexible, being less formal. And that was a key. Hey, go get your food on the curve service. And I've to the point, I'm hey, now that we can go to stores, I still,
we're turning back.
Hey, I'm not going back to to go into any store if I don't have to. But that's how we did, you know, make sure that nobody was forced to go. Everybody going to free will, but when they were there, you know, use the proper equipment to keep everybody protected and healthy, and being flexible, man. That was really the main thing. So that was it. I mean, for you, I guess in a way you were lucky. you were lucky.
We were already doing what everybody else was getting ready to learn to do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Like I said, the biggest change came not from how we worked, but how we lived with how we work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I was actually, I would tell you, I was quite surprised that it had that big of an impact, because you just didn't think about it. You know, you didn't think about it as a routine. Mm-hmm. If I were working in an office, you know, well, it would have been an established routine. Okay, I work from 8 to 11:30, go to lunch from 11:30 to 2, come back, work till 5, might stay a little extra, you know, till 6 or whatever. But when you work from home, you never really thought about it as that, because it was just a more leisurely, I'm getting things done. And then when I got those things done, I would pop out to go do something else. Well, when you took away the something else, you realize that
I work more.
Yeah. And wait a minute, I've got to reorganize myself here. And when I realized that I needed to reorganize myself, not only did I look at that, but I talked to the rest of my coworkers, and I brought those points up to them and told them, hey guys, I don't know whether you've recognized this yet or not, but you need to be aware of this. And, you know, they were like, you know, I've kind of had that feeling.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to mention, you know, I don't have any little children like you. Yeah, children are grown, but I do have some coworkers who have younger children, and being home and dealing with their children being home is different, because even though they work from homes, they would take their kids to daycare or grandma's or somebody. Well, those options were no more. And then it caused change.
No,
and
you know what? I had the same situation like that, because I was talking to one of the ladies, and, you know, we live in a military community. I think in our office, everybody in some shape or form is connected to the military. So husband is deployed, or let's just say overseas, not necessarily deployed. But anyways, so she got the kids at home, and she's like, man, I'm so distracted and stuff like that. And I was almost kind of arguing, like, listen, close the door, leave them. I mean, because my kids are, I mean, I have young kids, but my kids are in high school and college. So they understand when daddy closed the door, he's working. I mean, you can always, you know, they come through whatever, you know, but they would text me, hey, I'm good or whatever. Just like earlier, before we start recording, that my son came from, you know, whatever he was doing for the day. But I told him, hey, I'll be recording, but, you know, I need to see you, because you pretty much, you know, spent all day, whatever you were doing and stuff. So, but they know. So, but I didn't realize that this lady has, like, you know, 10 years and younger. And they require more attention, because mine, they get on their homework. They were doing homework. They didn't require no help. I mean, come on, my kids are young, but they're still, you know, super independent. And,
right.
And, but for those, and I'm like, oh, snap, you're right. So let me just kind of leave you alone. And I had to sympathize with that. And as leaders, you know, we need to understand circumstances at home, because that's the thing. You know, whatever happened at home, it will affect your productivity at work. And the same thing, whatever happens at work, it will affect your relationship or your productivity at with the family and stuff. But how you do that if you're working at home with your family around you? So it's like a double stress. And I almost didn't pay attention to that. She was telling me all that, and I'm like, but come on, just close the door. And they just, and I almost say that. That's the kind of, and then I started thinking, oh, wait a minute. Just because I know their kids. I mean, you know, we always make sure that we know families and stuff like that to understand what's going on overall. So I almost made that fatal mistake to say close the door and then just tell them to wait 8 hours whenever you finish your maybe one on the top of the hour. And that's why I was always suggesting people too, like on the top of the hour, man, you might want to get up, stand up, walk around, do something. Don't get too entertained or whatever. My that's my thing. I will put an alarm. I'll get up, go downstairs and kind of go around on the yard and kind of do a couple laps, take me about 5 minutes, and then come back up and then go back to work, because kind of like I would do in the office every now and then, you know, like on the top of the hour, trying to kind of stretch out. Sometimes I'm not very successful at that because you're so focused on what you're doing. And it happened to me, like you said, I would be typing my way out and calling and whatever. It's been like 3 hours, you know, since I haven't get up or done anything to get my mind out of that. It's not so much of the exercise, physical exercise, but also your mental rest. And mm-hmm. You mentioned something earlier, mental health. So for us, we didn't have any issues with that. That was good. And I think how we managed, it was good. How about for you guys? You hear anybody had anything, or families and stuff?
Well, no, because like I said, the sequence, we're used to working remotely. So that wasn't the issue. I think the greatest issue that we had that was a change was, you know, having children at home. And, you know, having being parents, but all my children are grown and gone. They're out on their own. You have to be cognizant. You have to remind yourself what it's like to have little children.
Right.
And if you got young parents who have little children, and the kind of work that we're doing, it can be very stressful to them. And just to be able to listen to them sometimes, because I've had some conversations with coworkers, and they just needed to kind of download a little bit, because they were like, you know, oh, this is just so stressful.
Yeah,
it's you know, I feel like I'm going 24/7 now, and you know, and I can see that, and I could have empathy, because you're still working your full-time schedule. You're being the school teacher. You still got to be mom. You still got to be husband, wife, all these things. So I can see how, yeah, you would feel that way. And we agreed to take a period of time every week where we did what we call the boozy brunch. It was just a way to get together and relax. You know, everybody would get your favorite, you know, snack, whatever that is, and get your favorite aperitif, whatever that was, you know, and, you know, we'd Zoom, but, you know, we would take it away from work, because usually when we would get together, you know, we'd have great dinners, you know, together after the completion of each, you know, segment of a project. And we found that we all missed that, because that was our opportunity, really, where we would catch up on, hey, so how's your kid doing in this school? You know, how's your mom doing over here? And it was a time to be human. And we recognized that had been stolen from us. Because, you know, you start to work and you just started to, it became all about work.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you hung up from that, it became all about your family and the duties that you had to them. So we implemented the boozy brunch, and, you know, we just, you know, for an hour, you know, hey, you get your cocktail, get you some snacks.
There
and,
you go.
You know, we'll talk about whatever, football, soccer, baseball, anything that was light and left you laughing.
And you know what? I think that's a super, super key to connect with people. Speaking of leadership and connection, you know my formula, you know, communication plus connecting equals influence, and influence is leadership. But to connect, sometimes you have to, like for instance, when I go to meetings, even on Zoom meetings, for the most part, if you realize, as you know, you'll have like 30 minutes of free time or networking or whatever the case may be. So in such a way, and for instance, I did a lot of doing this time. I had the privilege and the honor and the opportunity to conduct some leadership seminars. And my thing always was like that. 20 minutes prior to, or 30 minutes prior to, I want to talk to everybody who was in the conference and kind of see what was going on in their lives, and to get to know them too, you know, just like when you talk to somebody at work, you want to learn who they are and what they're all about and what ticks them and stuff like that. So the same thing, I was like, it was in person, I would shake hands and say, hey, listen, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming and stuff like that. So in Zoom, that's what I did. I just make sure that I learned about just about every single person that was in there. And if I couldn't do it on the first time, on the first run, and then the next time, I try to look for those person. But it was important to me to connect in that way. And like you said, that brunch, it was phenomenal. Just like we did also in our Toastmasters Club, you know, prior to, we would talk, hey, how you doing? How's family? How's thing? I heard about this. You might want to look out for these things. And, oh, wait, don't go this way. Whatever the case, I think that was, you know, super, super important. So we are leaders in everything that we do. So I guess I would like to conclude with our jewel of the day, or our takeaways. And when we're working from home as leaders, we have to be, one, flexible; two, empower your team, provide the right equipment or the necessary tool that they need to be successful, and have a daily check-ins and throughout different type of communication. So that communication is really the at the end of the day is the key. Communicate constantly, because whatever needs there are, they're going to let you know what needs to be adjusted. So that'll be my takeaways from this time in leadership working from home. And I would like to hear what people got to say. What was your main takeaways from working from home as leaders?
Absolutely. And, you know, the only thing I'd add to that is, you know, not only communicate, but, you know, having a quality of communications. Because oftentimes in work environments, we will think we're communicating, but we're actually just speaking. So always being mindful to listen as well as, you know, to talk. Because we know the rule for communications is what? 90% listen, 10% speak. Oftentimes in our work environment, you know, especially when things get hot, we have a tendency to kind of turn off the listening. And when we're working under less than ideal conditions, it's even more important to pay attention to the spoken word and to those nonverbal cues. The one thing that I also learned from Zoom is, while I'm not seeing you in person, it's also an opportunity for me to look to see, well, you know, he doesn't look well today. Is he tired? Is he sick? Is there something going on? So, you know, you've got to stay in tune with the people around you in order to breed success. And, you know, those are all the hallmarks of leaders. Yeah, to be a great leader, you got to step up, and you know it's about taking care of people, no matter what the industry.
Well, I think that summarizes. In fact, that in my mind, I create another segue for another episode of communication, which said, I mean, a small percentage of what we say on the content is really, is that's what that is, a small percentage. Everything is based on how we articulate it, how we said it, and our body language, and Zoom, still, you can still see it all of that. But that's for another episode. So with that, my friends, this is Edmund, and I'm Roger out.
This is Rick. Peace.